This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As taught follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we meet once again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in a better place than this place. Of course, inshallah ta'ala, tonight is the beginning of a new course, and that is the explanation of Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa'. So today is going to be an introduction to this important worship. We'll explain it in point form bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the next lesson, we're going to begin inshallah ta'ala with the first dhikr, which is tafsir ayat al-kursi, because that's of course the most important of all of them. So we begin inshallah ta'ala with an introduction as we promised. And we say, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that the one command that is in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us all to do plenty of is dhikrullahi ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla in the Qur'an in Surah Al-Ahzab, He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhikrullaha dhikran kathira. Allah azza wa jalla addressing the believers and commanding them to make abundance of dhikr, plenty of dhikr. Allah azza wa jalla, He said in Surah Al-Anfal, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم فئة فاثبتوا واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. سورة الأنفال. Allah عز وجل is saying, O you who believe, whenever you meet a group, يعني the enemy here, فئة, if you meet the group, an enemy, and this enemy could be many types. There is an enemy that holds the sword against you, and there is another common enemy that is among us today. And that is the propaganda that the disbelievers and the enemy of Allah push in our face. That's an enemy as well. What do we do? If he holds the sword in front of us, or he pushes his propaganda into our houses, what do? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, فَثْبُتُوا. Hold your ground. Stand firm. Do not move and do not be doubtful of what you're believing in. Stand firm. فَثْبُتُوا. How are you going to stand firm and stand your ground and not move? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. إذن العبادة, especially a dhikr, in a moment like this, it will grant you and it will guarantee you steadfastness in front of these waves of fitan that we see today. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may attain success. This is Allah Azza wa Jal telling us that a dhikr is the road to success. Even if you had the most powerful of enemies standing in your path, a dhikr, there is no other way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Taha, look how incredible this is. He mentions to us the dua of Musa alayhi salam. You know the famous dua of Musa alayhi salam. He begins to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for many things. He says, Rabbi shrah li sadri. Oh my Lord, bring tranquility and peace and ease in my heart. إِشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And ease my affairs, make my affairs easy. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. And untie the knots of my tongue so that I can speak eloquently when giving a da'wah. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So that the people can understand my message when I preach to them. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي. And appoint from my family a minister for me. Harun akhi, my brother Harun. Ushdud bihi azri, strengthen him. Let Harun alayhi salam be a strength for me when I go out to a da'wah. Ushdud bihi azri wa ashrikhu fi amri, and involve him in my affairs. Wa ashrikhu fi amri. All of these things that Musa alayhi salam is requesting. These are many requests. Why is he requesting all this? What does he want? He says, كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا. I need all of this. Oh Allah, accept all this for me so that we can engage in plenty of tasbih to you. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. And so that we can make plenty of dhikr. Have you ever made this in your dua? Have you ever? when making dua and asking something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have you told him why you want this? Musa alayhi salam lists a number of things he wants because he wants to do plenty of dhikr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the result? قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him that which he requested. Fanta, have you done this? Whenever you've asked Allah Azza wa Jal for something, have you said, oh Allah, make my life easy and provide me with this and this and this so that I can remember you much, so that I can worship you in ease, so that I can do so and so of worships? This is good. Include this in your dua. This is exactly like Zakariya alayhi salam when he made a dua for a child. Habli min ladunka waliya. He wanted a child. But then Zakariya alayhi salam mentioned why he wanted a child. He said, Yarithuni wa yarithu min ali Ya'quba waj'alhu rabbi radiya. I want a child so that he can inherit the prophethood after me, so that he becomes a prophet after me and he preaches and delivers this message to the people. وَهَذَا اسْمُ التَّمَلُّقُ فِي الدُّعَاءِ. That you make a request, what you want from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then include in this, tell him subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you want what you're asking? Why do you want what you're asking? فَمُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ wants these, all these things for what? وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. So that we can make plenty of dhikr for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And if you also ponder over the story of Zakariya alayhi salam, these are just ayat going one after the other to teach you the importance of a dhikr in your life. How the believer cannot live a single moment without dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakariya alayhi salam, the same one we were speaking about, he wanted a child. Eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers him. And he gives him a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to him, فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى مصدقا بكلمة من الله وسيدا وحصورا ونبيا من الصالحين. The glad news came to Yahya to Zakariya alayhi salam as he was standing in his place of worship and he's engaged in a salat, in the worship. See, this is where Allah Azza wa Jal would provide for people in their ibadah. And that's where the news came that the child is on the way. Zakariya alayhi salam is shocked. How can this be? How can this be? When his wife is barren, she cannot carry, and he's old age. And so he said, "Anna yakunu li walad." How can it be that I have a child? So then he said, "Rabbi ij'alli ayah." I want a sign. Give me, oh Allah, give me a sign. And I'm not doubting. I know the child is coming. But give me a sign so I can see. And when I see this sign, I know that the child is coming. He's on his way. قال رب اجعل لي آية. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him and gave him a sign. قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاثة أيام إلا رمزا. Your sign is going to be that you will be disabled from speech for 3 days in the other ayah and 3 nights. Your tongue will be disabled from speech, meaning whenever someone spoke to you, you try to talk, you cannot talk back. Someone asks you a question, you try to talk, you cannot talk. Your tongue will be disabled. You will not be able to talk a single word. Then Allah Azza wa Jal made an exception. From the many words that the human being utters, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحْ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَسَبِّحْ بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِبْكَارِ. However, make dhikr of Allah in abundance. Yani the only thing that he was not disabled from was dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wanted to say subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah, the tongue would work. If he wanted to say anything else, it's disabled. It doesn't move. Fal ulama rahimahumullah, they said, why was this the case? Because how can the believer live a day? How can he live a moment without dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He cannot just be disabled from this. For there was an exception. You're disabled from all speech except dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, he spoke about a category of people and he referred to them as الذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, the men that remember Allah Azza wa Jal much. وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, and the women, the females, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much, there are two rewards appointed for them. And that is, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. He has prepared for them a maghfirah, a complete forgiveness of their sins. Dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees you forgiveness of your sins. You meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your sins forgiven, all of them. All of them. وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And on top of this, a huge reward. And when Al-Ajr al-Azim is mentioned in the Quran, it refers to the paradise. This is a great reward, the paradise. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he gave tafsir of this ayah, and he explained, who are al-dhakirin Allah kathira? How do you become from among those who remember Allah much? How do you become from this category? He said, they are those who remember Allah after as-salat, meaning adhkar as-salat. Wa adhkar as-sabah wal-masa', and those who remember Allah in the morning and in the afternoon. And when they go to sleep, and when they wake up, and every time they leave their house and they come back to their house, all these adhkar at these times are frequent on their tongue. Such a people are referred to adh-dhakirin Allah kathira. Ibn al-Salah, rahimahullah, he said, whoever was consistent, the word consistent, later on we'll speak about this consistency when we come to the ahadith. But for now he said, whoever is consistent upon the adhkar of the day and the night is counted from among those who have remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warns us about abandoning dhikrullah, saying, مَا مِن سَاعَةٍ تَمُرُّ بِابْنِ آدَمَ لَا يَذْكُرِ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا حَسِرَ عَلَيْهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There is not an hour, a moment that goes by in the life of a believer in which he does not feel it or make dhikrullah in it, except that he will regret this moment on the day of judgment. And that your moments and your life and your day and your morning should be filled with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, yani, ponder over this beautiful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for us. Before you enter the bathroom, there's a dhikr. When you come out, there's a dhikr. Before you eat, there's a dhikr. After you finish, a dhikr. When you wear your clothes, there's a dhikr. When you enter, yani, even in after the marriage, there is a dhikr and a dua to make. When you enter the car, there is a dhikr. Enter the masjid, leave the masjid, there's a dhikr. Incredible. Why? لأن الذكر reminds you of Allah عز وجل, as though we are being told, never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I've put for you, in the day, in the times, and in places you enter, and what you do, and before and after, things that keep you tied to Allah عز وجل, and you being cognizant and thoughtful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the times. This is the importance and the significance of a dhikr in the life of a believer. But it's even worse. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, that's on the day of judgment, where the person would regret every moment he didn't do a dhikr. I mean, in this life, there are consequences as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of the one who engages in a dhikr and the one who abandons a dhikr is the example of the living and the dead. Yani, the one who has dhikr is the one who is truly living. And the one who is neglecting a dhikr, perhaps his limbs are functioning and moving, but in reality he's dead. His heart has died a long time ago. And you know, a dead person, if you enter the washroom, in where they wash the dead, the deceased, and you ponder over the dead, they're motionless. They're not able to move. If any harm was to come to a dead body, it cannot defend itself. It's dead. Different to the living person. He can defend himself. He can move things. He can move. For what we're learning is that the one who is adhering to dhikrullah, when the fitan and the temptations and the sins and the evil come towards him, he's alive. He knows how to defend himself. He'll live, he'll survive, he'll get through them. And by the one who doesn't have dhikr in his life, when the fitan approach, when the sins and the temptations approach, heck, is motionless, lifeless, cannot move. He'll be attacked and he'll be affected and his heart will be destroyed and his entire body will be consumed with these fitan and evils. Why? Because he abandoned dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He abandoned. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he spoke about the importance of a dhikr, he said, إِنَّ حَاجَةَ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ كَحَاجَةِ السَّمَكَةِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ. Allahu Akbar. He said, indeed, the need of the heart for dhikrullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the need of the fish for water. Yani, what is the state of a fish if it was separated from water? Go to the ocean, pull out a fish, and keep it hanging there, away from the water. What happens? Eventually, what does it do? It jumps violently. It's disturbed. It's shaken. It's about to die. And that is the state of the heart of the one who abandons dhikrullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always worried and sad and depressed. And all these negative emotions begin to embrace his heart. And the heart trembles out of fear of the unknown. He doesn't know Allah. He doesn't remember Allah. How is he going to have stability in his heart and peace and tranquility in his life? This is a person just like a fish has been removed from the water. Therefore, the further a person is from dhikrullah, the further away a person is from dhikrullah, the closer his heart is to sadness and darkness. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. For the idea is that dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala ibadatun azeema. It is a tremendous, enormous worship, dhikrullah azza wa jal. And in the general and broad sense, dhikrullah includes every single act of worship that reminds you of Allah, both the physical and the verbal actions. As-salat is dhikr, and fasting is dhikr, was-sadaqah is dhikr, wal-hajj is dhikr. And then the adhkar, the verbal adhkar that you say are also adhkar. And this lesson that we're gathered and sitting, this is also from dhikrullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept. In the general sense, everything that reminds you of Allah is considered a dhikr. But in our course, we're going to focus on one of the greatest verbal adhkar, and that is adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and I find us to tell you, there is a type of worship that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about its virtue. And he said, the one who says it, la yadurruhu shay'. Nothing, absolutely nothing will harm him. No fitan, no evil, no magic, nothing would harm him. And the same worship, if I was to tell you, this same worship, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, the one who says it, takfika min kulli shay, it is sufficient for you from every single thing that is harmful and evil. It's a protection. And if I was to tell you that there is a worship that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, from its virtues, kana haqqan ala Allah an yurdiyah, the one who says it, it is obligatory upon Allah azza wa jal that he pleases this person. Allahu Akbar. And a worship, same one we're talking about. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, the one who says it, ujira min al-jinn hatta yusbih. The one who says it will be saved from al-jinn until the morning. And if he says it in the afternoon, or if he says it in the morning, he's saved until the afternoon. And this same worship, the one who says it, faqad adda shukra yawmih. The one who says it has indeed thanked Allah azza wa jal that day. He has fulfilled the gratitude that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that day. And this same worship, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say about it, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا أَهَمَّهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The one who says it, Allah azza wa jal would suffice him from all the worries he has of this life and of the afterlife. Every worry you have in this life and in the afterlife, all good, no problems. And the same worship, the one who says it, أَعْتَقَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The one who says it, Allah Azza wa Jal would free him from the fire. And the same worship, the one who says it, مُوقِنًا بِهَا. He says it with certainty, حِينَ يُمْسِي. When he enters the afternoon, when he enters the morning, and he dies, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He enters the paradise. Allahu Akbar. It's the more, this same worship, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say about it, whoever says it, لَمْ يَأْتِ أَحَدٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ قَالَ مِثْلَهُ أَوْ زَادٍ. The same worship, that if you were to say, No one would be better than you on the Day of Judgment except someone who said more than you or increased his actions and worship more than you. And this same worship, whoever says it, أَدْرَكَتْهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, he earns my intercession on the Day of Judgment. What does this mean? And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he interceded for you and he's granted and he's given permission to do intercession for the believers, يعني هذا خلاص, هذا is in the paradise if the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to intercede for you. And this worship is indeed أذكار الصباح والمساء, the remembrance of the morning and in the evening. These أذكار are a daily dose that is to be taken twice a day. Every 12 hours, you're taking this dose. For life, never stops until the day you die. When Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, you should know that the biggest chapter in the books of Adhkar is the chapter that discusses the morning and afternoon Adhkar. That's the biggest chapter in the books of Adhkar. And then he said, whoever is able to adhere to all of them, this is indeed a huge blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you're not able to read all of them, then at least some of them, and that is good as well. And if you're not able to read a few of them, then at least one of them. One at least, if you read one, you're considered from those who read أذكار الصباح والمساء. لأنه you read a ذكر from أذكار الصباح والمساء in the morning and one in the afternoon. But of course, the reward is less than the one who read them all. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, the morning and evening adhkar, they play the role of a shield. They play the role of a shield. The thicker it is, how do you make your shield thicker? The more of the adhkar you recite, the thicker your shield is. The thicker it is, the more its owner will not be affected. يعني أنت fully protected. Rather, the strength of this shield could reach to such an extent that if someone was to try to harm you, this evil, this harm that is coming to you, it could bounce off this thick shield of yours and hit that person that intended you with evil. That's how incredible أذكار الصباح والمساء could offer a person protection بإذن الله تعالى. It is known that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said that the morning adhkar and the evening adhkar are stronger than the fortress and the wall of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj that was built from iron and steel and metal. And for the one who says it, but that's only for the one who says it while his heart is present and alive. We'll speak about this as well and what it means. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he brings our attention to something very important. He says, wear the coat of adhkar. When you wear the coat of adhkar, it protects you from the evils of the humans and al-jinn. And then he said, cover your soul with al-istighfar so that it erases the sins of the day and the night. And these things that Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned, these two types of worship, which is adhkar al-sabah wal-masa wal-istighfar. And if we wanted to summarize this, we can just say adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, because al-istighfar is included in adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. We need to know that these two types of worship, if a person was to adhere to them and remain firm and steadfast upon them, wallah and bi-idhnillah, he'll find many blessings in his life. They are life-changing. You see, our lives is full of distress and calamities and problems and hardships. Well, you could probably say more than a third of our calamities is because of magic, evil eye, envy, jealousy of the people upon others, the evil of ash-shayateen and the devils and their play with mankind, and the evils of our own self as well. A third of our calamities is because of all this. And the other third of our calamities is because of our sins and our disobedience and transgression. And so when you seek forgiveness, the calamities that are a result of your sins are removed. And those calamities are kept away from you. And you don't know. Sometimes your sickness is because of a sin of yours. And you don't know. And the problems that are in your house is because of a sin of yours. And the trouble between you and your brothers and your sisters could be because of a sin. هذا حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ما توادى اثنان ففرق بينهما إلا بذنب يذنبه أحدهما. There are not two people that loved each other and came close to each other. And then فرق بينهما, they separated and took different paths and ways, except that one of them is a sinner. One of them has committed a sin. And one of the consequences of sins is that he becomes hated by those that are around him. شوف سبحان الله, how much is Allah Azza wa Jal covering of our sins? وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, Allah says. He covers many, many of your sins. And he does not send consequences for these sins. سبحانه وتعالى, لأنه الحليم الرحيم. Sometimes, until you don't know, the financial troubles and problems that you're facing could be because of a sin. Rather, the calamity of the entire globe and what it's going through could be because of the sins and transgressions of mankind, as Allah Azza wa Jal would say. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. فَإِذَا seeking forgiveness will reduce these calamities. And adhering to the adhkar of the morning and the afternoon guarantees a person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. So once you adhere to them and you remain steadfast upon them, every morning and afternoon, bi-ithnillah, you will realize a huge change in your life. You'll realize what the devils were doing to you. And you'll realize this evil, where it was coming from, and what was happening in your life. Once you stick to them and they reduce, you'll notice exactly what the reason was. SubhanAllah. And we need to understand that these adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' are from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the most important thing you should take from this lesson. They are min sunnati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When to my brothers and sisters in Islam, do you have a right attitude towards the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Wallah, you just know a sunnah is a sunnah, move on. Unfortunately, the majority of us have abandoned adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' really because it's a sunnah. We think a sunnah means, يعني, it's not wajib, we don't have to do it. Whether this is big danger. Let's understand, adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' are from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's draw your attention to an ayah in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely. Completely enter into Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us to fully enter into Islam. And that means by implementing each and every single teaching that Allah revealed to us. Do all the commands. Mujahid rahimahullah, he said, اعملوا بجميع الأعمال ووجوه البر. Do each and every single command that came to you via Allah, via the Quran or the Messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ووجوه البر. And every type of goodness that you know about, that has been taught to us by our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do it. And do not worry whether something is wajib or mustahab. Don't worry about this. When the scholars discuss the matter of wajib, obligatory, and mustahab, something being recommended, wallah, they did not do this with the intention of teaching us that the wajib is a must, or sunnah is an option. Wallahi, they did not. They didn't teach us the difference between a sunnah wal wajib to tell you that this one you have to do and this one you can leave out. La. And also, they did not teach us al-haram wal-makruh. They did not teach us the difference between impermissible matters and disliked matters, so that, oh, we know al-haram we should keep away from. Wal-makruh, it's all right to do because you will not be sinned for it. La. Wa ana, subhanallah, I'm amazed sometimes how some Muslims understand their Islam and their deen. Yani, you have individuals like this. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us and grant us all guidance. We all need steadfastness, but we need to remind each other. Some Muslims are like this. He doesn't pray the sunan prayers. No adhkar in the morning and in the afternoon. No duha. No salat al-witr. No fasting of Monday or Thursday, or at least one of them, or at least 3 days a month. No extra worship in Dhul Hijjah, which just finished. Muharram is coming. doesn't even know what's going on in Muharram and that the fasting in Muharram is the best fasting after Ramadan. None, doesn't care. No 6 days fasting after Ramadan, which is 6 days of Shawwal, nothing. La, because it's a sunnah, it's not wajib. It's not wajib, it's a sunnah. He leaves. But then, on the other hand, the same person, at the same time, does a handful of makruhat, of matters that are disliked. Talks after Salat al-Isha, which is makruh, unless it is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a person with his wife. This is an act of worship, it's goodness, no problems. Clips the nails and cuts the hair during the first 10 days of the Hijjah and tells the ulama have differed in this topic and it is makruh, makruh. Ma huwa shi'an al-makruh means do it. Hatta even if it's makruh, that's default of makruh being do it. Khalas, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said avoid, avoid. Don't worry about haram and makruh, don't worry about this. If you're able to leave, then leave. What else? He gives and takes with his left hand, which is makruh. Talks too much about dunya matters in al-masjid. Not haram, it's makruh, but to speak about too much dunya in al-masjid. And smokes and he says it's makruh, well, it's haram. But he says it's makruh, all of this, because it's makruh. He does the makruh, because it's makruh. And he abandoned an abundance of sunnah, because it's sunnah. This is not a deen. This is not the meaning of udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan, enter into Islam completely. You get the twist here? See what happens? Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan is to adhere to the commands of Allah, each and every single one of them. Listen to what Al-Alusi rahimahullah he said. He said, udkhulu fi silmi aw fi al-islam bi kulliyatikum wa la tad'u shay'an min zahirikum wa batinikum illa wal islam yastaw'ibuhu بحيث لا يبقى مكانا لغيره. This is fantastic. Listen to this. Al-Alusi rahimahullah, he said, enter Islam completely and do not allow any part of your life, whether internally or external appearance, do not allow any part of your life except that Islam has occupied it and covered it to the point where there is no more room for anything else. Yani, you dress in the manner that Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to. Huh? Cover your body the way Allah wants. Eat the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Drink the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught you. Say words that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you to do. From that, the morning, adhkar, say it. The afternoon, adhkar, say them. When you meet your brother, say assalamu alaikum. Do not replace it with anything. Every single teaching you know about, you take it and you implement it. To the point where you find in yourself, like, there's no more room for me to fit any other teaching. That way you'll be saved from innovations and from misguidance. Otherwise, if you adhere to some teachings and you abandon other teachings, slowly and slowly, those teachings that you are supposed to implement will be replaced by something else. Today, people, because Allah musta'an, the majority live in Western world, and when you go to your work and you greet your mate at work, it is hi and bye. But what's supposed to be on the tongue of a Muslim when he meets his believing brothers, he says to them, assalamu alaikum. Now it's been replaced. And I'm not saying it's an issue, but one second. You need to understand this. The hi and the bye has become more than assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. It's become more than this. Fanta, you need to be careful. If this is one thing, make sure everything else in your life is covered with Islamic teachings so that nothing else has room for you. This is what udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan mean. And this is a mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that He instructs us to do this. So that you don't become confused later on and say, Allah, no, I'm believing in times of confusion, I don't know what to do. What you're not doing, had you done it, you would be spared from this issue. Implement all the teachings and you will find there's no more room to think of anything else. You will not need anything else. Subhanallah. When Al-Alusi rahimahullah, he said, لا تخلو شيئا من أحكامه. لا تخلو شيئا من أحكامه. Do not abandon any teaching of Islam. Wa Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, لست تاركا شيئا كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعمله إلا عملت به. إني أخشى إن تركت شيئا من أمره أن أزيغ. أبو بكر رضي الله عنه he said, I will never leave a single teaching. واجب مستحب I do not care about this. I will not leave a single teaching out that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم did except that I will do as well. Then he said the reason for what? He said, because I fear if I abandon شيئاً, something, one thing, أن أزيغ, I fear that I'll become led astray. Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, the best of this ummah after the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, is telling us, I will not dare to leave a single teaching. Because if I do leave one teaching, I fear. I don't know. I'll lose my steadfastness. Shuf, compare his words and see our state. Umar radiallahu anhu. Look at this. These are sahaba. But they already guaranteed the paradise. But look at the attitude towards sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm sharing these with you and drawing your attention to the fact that adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' is sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm sharing these with you to teach you how our attitude is supposed to be sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu. He got to Al-Kaaba, they had their ihram on, they were ready to do tawaf. So he said, مَا لَنَا وَلِلْرَمْلِ. You know, a sunnah is, when you first get to the Kaaba, that you do the first three laps jogging, fast walking. It's called الرمل. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا لَنَا وَلِلْرَمْلِ. Why are we supposed to do الرمل for? خلاص, leave it. وَإِنَّمَا كُنَّا يعني نُرَائِ بِهِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَقَدْ أَهْلَكَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Who are Ramal? Why did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do this Ramal initially? Where did this Sunnah come from? See, when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Sahaba came from Al Medina to Mecca, the Quraysh in Mecca spread a rumor. They said that, look, these Muslims are now going to arrive very tired, exhausted, and they've been affected by the fever that was in Medina. So they're going to come all weak. So stand your ground and show them our strength. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, when we get there, we're going to jog the first three. Why? So that the disbelievers, their rumor becomes يعني, destroyed. What do you mean? We've come a long way and we're even ready to jog the first three under the heat of the sun, whatever it is. We've got the energy and the strength, bi-ithnillah. So he did this. This was the purpose. This is where the sunnah came from. طيب عمر رضي الله عنه is saying, why do we have to jog for? خلاص, now we've conquered Mecca. No more disbelievers in here. Everyone is a believer. Well, and the reason for jogging no longer exists. We don't have to show any disbelief our strength. خلاص, we don't need it anymore. And this is initially what Umar رضي الله عنه is thinking. But then he said, شيء صنعه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا نحب أن نتركه. But then he convinced himself and he said, لا. This is something النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم did. And we do not like to leave anything he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Thumma ramal. And then he jogged the first three. Subhanallah. Lanata, you don't know. You don't know of other wisdoms. You don't. He and Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, يعني, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said that the Muslims, when they jog the first three now, perhaps when we jog these three, we reflect over why this sunnah initiated. We reflect over the weak state of the Muslims at that time and how then Allah Azza wa Jal allowed them to conquer Mecca and He restored the honor for this ummah. For when we jog these three, we can recall and reflect over the state and thank Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a benefit for it. So the idea was, do not leave out any sunnah. Well, adhkar is from the greatest sunan of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the adhkar of the morning and the afternoon. Incredible. Ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah, he said, مَنْ تَهَاوَنَ بِالْآدَابِ عُوقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِ السُنَنِ. Shufi, one leads to another. He says, anyone who abandons and neglects Islamic manners and etiquette will be punished by being deprived from the sunan. وَمَنْ تَهَاوَنَ بِالسُنَنِ. And anyone who has a lackadaisical attitude towards the sunan, abandons, neglects the sunan, عُوقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِ الْفَرَائِضِ. he'll be punished by being deprived from the obligatory deeds. And whoever is lazy when it comes to the fara'id and abandons the obligatory acts, عُوقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ, he will be deprived of the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. هذا المعرفة, to know Allah Azza wa Jal, because it is your knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal that charges you to worship Allah Azza wa Jal during the day and the night. So if you're missing المعرفة, you don't know who Allah is, there's no point for you to worship Allah anymore. You'll find yourself stopping. Subhanallah. And the one who neglects a sunan, you know what he does? He opens the door of innovations for himself. Because you did not fill your time with a sunan, what are you going to fill it with? You will have to find something. And this is when a person is tested with al-bid'ah and innovations and misguidance. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. Well, Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah, he said, al-i'tisamu bis-sunnati najat. Holding on to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is survival. Do you want to survive? Especially during the times we're living in? You need sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even you need to understand, do not separate between what's wajib and what's sunnah, what's mustahab. This is not your work. Anta as a Muslim, hatta al-fuqaha, when they explained this, it wasn't like, oh, la, he said sunnah ma'alata, he never did it in his life. Yani hatta al-imam, I can remember now, al-imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, in his book, Kitab al-Umm, he spoke a long discussion about Salat al-Layl. Is it wajib? Is it sunnah? Where he entered into opinions and ended up eventually sunnah. But at the end he said, وَلَا نُحِبُّ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَتُرُكَهَا. Shuf, the discourse of al-fuqaha, al-fuqah is different. It's rough. It's got to do with the knowledge itself. But then at the end, he made a commentary at that. He said, and we do not like for anyone to abandon the sunnah of the night prayer. Because when it comes to action and spiritual matters, don't worry about the disagreement and the discussions. This is not for you. This is for people that are learning and teaching others and spreading the deen of Allah and continuing this legacy. Amma when it comes to action and implementation, everything you know about, wajib, sunnah, mustahab, you fill your life with it. So that khalas, there's no empty room in your life. And as a result, this kind of emptiness in your life and depression and all these matters that come with it goes away. What brings sadness upon a person other than empty time that he has? For the heck, he's got nothing to do. Doesn't fill his time with worship, with anything beneficial. Shaitan comes, al-waswas comes, and he's just thinking and doing nothing. If you busy yourself, بالقرآن, أذكار الصباح, أذكار المساء, صلاة before الفرض, وبعدين السنة, وبعدين fasting. There's no more time to think of anything. هذا أدخله في السلم كافة, and this is what it means to hold on to سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And better than all this, قول الله تعالى, الحسن البصري رحمه الله, he said that there are certain people that claim they love the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Allah tested them, ابتلاهم الله, with an ayah in the Quran, known as Ayatul Mihna. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, go out and tell the people, if indeed تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ, if indeed you loved Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're true in this claim, then there's only one thing that can prove it. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمَ اللَّهُ. Then follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Full stop. He did not say following him in what? And avoid what? Follow me in everything I have taught you and everything that reaches you of authentic ahadith that you know he did or said. Khalas. What's the result? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Subhanallah. Naam. Now we said that from the guidance and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that he taught us many verbal adhkar that are said throughout the day. And we said that during this course, we're going to speak about the verbal adhkar. And of course, the verbal adhkar in and of themselves are of two categories. Verbal adhkar are two categories. There are adhkar that are tied to specific places, such as entering the bathroom, entering the car, entering al-masjid, entering the house. These adhkar are tied to these places. You only say them before you do that action. The other category of adhkar is tied to a specific time. Yani when you wake up in the morning, Well, you woke up in your house, you woke up somewhere overseas, you slept in the masjid at night and you woke up in the morning. Doesn't matter now the place. What matters is the time. There are adhkar to say. And after the prayers, adhkar to say, whether you prayed here or in Masjid al-Nabawi or wherever you prayed. And when in distress, wherever you are, when experiencing anger, when getting married, and so on, and in the morning, in the afternoon, this is the second category of adhkar. It's tied to the time, to a specific time. And from these adhkar that are tied to a specific time, we mentioned adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. So adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, it doesn't matter where you are. The place does not matter. Even though there are places more preferred, like al-masjid after you pray salat al-fajr and you sit and you make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's a preferred place. But that's not what has to be done if it cannot be done. Especially if we were to speak about the case of a woman. And so you know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he says, the one who prays salat al-fajr, thumma jalasa fi, there are two narrations, fi musallah, fi masjidihi. One narration suggests that you should be sitting exactly where you prayed. You don't move from there. And the other narration suggests that as long as you're still in the masjid. Huwa sahih bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as the Shaykh Ibn Baz mentioned. And even if a person walked out a little bit and came back, no problems. It doesn't damage this. It doesn't damage this reward. Whoever salah, prayed that fajr, and that sat down in his place or in this masjid and began to engage in dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun rises, he is given the reward of al-hajj wa umrah tamma tamma tamma. Reward of hajj and umrah, complete, complete, complete. Nothing is diminished from this reward. This is for men. Amma a woman, masalan, if you're saying that the best woman or the best prayer of a woman is in her house, how does she earn this reward? Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah, he says, a woman that prays in her house and sits in her house making dhikr of Allah until the sun rises, just like the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Juwayriya bint al-Harith, did, then she earns the exact same reward. And this is also the case of a sick person that cannot attend the masjid because of his sickness. If he was to sit at home, pray al-fajr, and sit down, dhikrullah, until the sun rises, he is given the same reward. You see, in Islam, equality between men and women is only in reward. That's where equality is. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ. When it comes to reward, man and woman are exactly the same. No difference. But when it comes to roles and so on, that's a different story. There is no equality in that. Now, طيب. And أذكار الصباح والمساء, coming towards the end of our lesson, let's just be patient a little bit so we can finally conclude this introduction. The scholars of the past and up until this day have shown great concern concerning the prophetic adhkar and the supplications. Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he has a book called Amalu al-Yawmi wal-Layla. And his student Ibn al-Sunni also has a book, Amalu al-Yawmi wal-Layla. The actions and the jobs that a believer has to do in the day and the night. These are books of adhkar, what you're supposed to say. Anna Kamal al-Nawawi has a book, Hilyatul al-Abrar. وشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية has a book الكلم الطيب وابن القيم رحمه الله has a book الوابل الصيب من الكلم الطيب والشوكاني has a book تحفة الذاكرين وعنا as well الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله he has تحفة الأخيار and so many علماء wrote about this. What does this teach us? This is a noble deed. This is a huge part of your Islam. الأذكار الموظفة, the appointed adhkar of the day and the night. Huge part of Islam. And all these books that discuss the daily adhkar, we mentioned that the largest chapter was the chapter of the morning and the afternoon supplication. And this is why many ulama would single out this chapter and write books and books about it, like the book of As-Suyuti rahimahullah concerning adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. And this noble act of worship, adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, has been titled with many other titles. So commonly it's known as Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. That's the common naming and wording for it. But it also referred, it has other titles. It is also referred to as Adhkar Tarafay al-Nahar, the Adhkar of the two folds of the day, which is the morning and the afternoon. أَذْكَارُ الْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَعْصَالِ, which means the morning and the afternoon. أَذْكَارُ الْبُكْرَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. These are words coming from the Qur'an. That's what they're referred to as well. And there is as well, أَذْكَارُ مَا يُقَالُ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. The أذكار that are said before sun rises and before the sun sets. Let me get you to another topic, and that is, why do we need to understand the أذكار? Because now we said that this course is about understanding the أذكار. Why is this important? And I hope I explain this to you well, so you can understand the importance of understanding the أذكار. And then it becomes upon you to attend and learn and listen. شوف, الأذكار أو الذكر is of three levels. في الذكر of the heart and the tongue. You get them both involved. The second level of ذكر, which is less than this, is the ذكر of the heart alone. And less than this is the ذكر of the tongue alone without the heart. These are the levels of a ذكر. Of course, the best one of them is what? The heart and the tongue together. And the greatest way to get the heart involved with the tongue when reciting the أذكار is to understand what you're saying. And it's almost impossible to have the heart active and present while you're reading the أذكار if you do not understand it. Look, understanding the أذكار is something that was a great concern even among التابعين. يعني look at the story of الفضيل بن عياض رحمه الله من التابعين. One day he saw someone being lazy concerning his worship. So he said to him, how old are you? The man said, I'm 60. 60 years old. For he said to him, يعني do you realize you're at the end of the road? Sure, 60, يعني what's left? You're at the end of the road. What's this attitude you have towards worship? So the man said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. فالفضيل رحمه الله, he said to him, he said, do you know what that means? شوف, the Salaf, التابعين are concerned about the meaning. He said to this old man, do you just know what you said? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Do you understand its meaning? Wallah, you just said words and you don't understand what it is. He said, I don't know. Had they from the time of التابعين, look at the concern for the meaning of the أذكار is at the time of التابعين. He said to him, I don't know. Al-Fudayl rahimahullah, he said to him, Inna lillah means we are slaves of Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we shall return to him. And if you know, now he's giving him the understanding. He said to him, if you know that you will return to him, then you should know that you'll be questioned. And if you know you're going to be questioned, then you need to prepare answers for these questions. Allahu Akbar. Then the one who said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. If you pondered over these few words that you said, you'll understand there is big trouble ahead if you do not prepare. And as a result, the heart is active, the tongue is active, that believer will get up from that day and prepare himself. أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاحِ وَالْمَسَاءِ. When you understand them, it pushes you towards action. It pushes you towards righteousness. The scholars have mentioned that the one who utters words of dhikr without knowing its meaning, it'll have little, if not no effect on him. Allahu Akbar. No effect. And what's worse than this is the one who says the adhkar and then throughout the day and the night, his actions contradict that which he said. And that this is the greatest of calamities. Yani he's sitting adhkar al-salah, he doesn't know what it means. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا يا رب. And I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. I'm pleased with Rasulullah, my messenger. I'm pleased with Islam, my deen. And then his actions of the day of the night doesn't show that he's pleased with Allah as his Lord. Doesn't show. Where is it? How is it? You said you're pleased with Rasulullah as a prophet. What town you're engaged in bid'ah. How's this the case? See what, Heather, when you, this is the calamity when you do not understand what you say. Why do we have to understand these adhkar? Because when you know the meanings, it has a great effect on the heart and the soul. A person becomes humble. Wallahi, he becomes humble when he reads these adhkar, one after the other. And he really begins to understand the desperate need he has for Allah Azza wa Jal. And the complete state of weakness he is in before Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, at times, reading adhkar as-sabah wal-masa, it can move a person to tears. Wallahi, it can. Knowing that you're absolutely nothing without the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Such as when you read, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghif. This is a person, if you understand, when inshallah we're coming to them, bi rahmatika astaghif. I am in complete desperate need of your mercy. فَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Do not allow me to rely on myself even for the blink of an eye. And I can't. By myself, I can't. I will lose the gap. I will drop. I cannot continue in worship. I cannot continue in upholding al-Iman. And the certainty in my heart, I cannot, if it wasn't for your mercy. But Leo, realize how small you are, how weak you are, how desperate you are, needing Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy. Imagine this, you're sitting every morning and saying this, every afternoon and saying this, and you're adding to it all of them. Allahu Akbar, Allah is such a person, life changing, I'm telling you. But you need to understand what you're saying. And young people today, they read the adhkar and they are still being affected by the evil, by magic, by ash-shurur, sins, fitan, misconceptions, doubts. Wabi like I'm reading adhkar al-sabah al-masa, but I find myself horrible in front of all these evils and temptations. And then some would say, maybe it's because of my blonde hair, or it's because of my blue eyes, or because of how much money I got, or because the car I'm driving, or the shirt I'm wearing. Maybe that's why. No, it's not about this. It's meant that you haven't read the adhkar. Wallah, you don't even understand what you read. This is the problem. Don't worry about yourself and so on. Had I come in from a trick from the shaytan. But the real reason is that you did not understand them. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he gives a beautiful example. Look at this example. He mentions three things. He said, this here is you. This is the soldier. Let's say this is a soldier. And this is the weapon. A soldier needs a weapon. And this is the enemy. Because a soldier with a weapon is confronting an enemy. Tayyib. This is the latest weapon on earth. Nothing beats it. The best weapon to date with all its functions. If this soldier doesn't know how to use this, what point is it for him? Useless. And how's this going to benefit him? Absolute useless. Like, for as a result, this enemy will destroy the soldier because he had the best of the best, but they didn't know how to use it. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah draws our attention now and he says, this is you, this is the believer every day and afternoon, and he has the best weapon in front of him, Kitabullah Azza wa Jal, wal adhkar of the morning and the afternoon. These are the best weapons. This is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing could be better than this. You have the latest weapon in your possession. Wal fitan are all here. This is the enemy here. Evils, sins, temptations, desires, call it what it is, all the rubbish here. If you don't understand this, how can it be effective in your life? It won't have any effect. But if you know this and you understand it, you know how to use it, you're certain and honest, and you're bent upon this weapon that you have, you've encompassed it, you've embraced it, you're saying words that you own, you know what they are. You know the kind of guidance and protection it offers by the permission of Allah. No one can stand in his path. No one will be able to stand in his path because you've got the best weapon and you understand how to use it. Beautiful example Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah he gives. We're coming to the conclusion. This is our final matters. When does adhkar al-sabah begin and when does it end? This is very important. A huge discussion. There's about five opinions for ulama. They all differ from one to another. And we're going to summarize it and give you the one and most authentic opinion, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As-sabah, when it is said, as-sabah, it refers to the time between fajr and sunrise. This is the time. Ibn Ummi Maktoum, which was one of the muadhins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not make adhan for the fajr until, because he was blind, until those around him would say to him, "Asbahta, asbahta." Asbahta meaning now you have entered the morning. Allahu Akbar. He makes adhan. Adhan al-fajr. Idhan adhkar al-sabah begin from the time adhan al-fajr takes place. So that means a person can begin to recite adhkar al-sabah immediately after the adhan. Not after salat. He can start after the adhan. But what is better is to delay them until after salat al-fajr. Because this time of between adhan and iqamah is a time reserved for dua. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us, that the dua between the adhan and iqamah is not rejected. And the best dua to make during this time is to ask Allah for protection. Salullah al-afiyah, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us. For that's a sunnah. You uphold this and you make that kind of worship, which is a dua. And you leave adhkar al-sabah to after salat al-fajr. That's al-sabah, right? Okay. Al-masa is the time between asr wal-maghrib. This is al-masa. And this is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wa ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned this in his book, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ. Here, your attention is supposed to be here, not there. وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. البُكْرَة is أول النهار, the beginning of the day, which is after صلاة الفجر. والأصيل, as الجوهري رحمه الله said, is the time between عصر and مغرب. Then you understand the time now. After Salat al-Fajr to sunrise. Al-Masa' after Al-Asr to Al-Maghrib. Now, the one who says them at the beginning of its time earns greater reward and more protection than the one who delays them until the end of their time. Yeah, if you delayed them until just before sunrise, bi-ithnillah, a few reward, and immense reward and so on. But not as best as the one who said them at the beginning of their time. That's called the preferred time. The preferred time for adhkar al-sabah, after salat al-fajr, until sunrise. Then there is something known as an extended time. If you miss them in this time, you have an extended time until az-zawal, or before that, by 15 minutes. Yani before adhan al-dhuhr, by 15 minutes. That's called an extended time. If you miss them here, do them here. And do them. And don't miss them. And this is a matter we'll speak about, يعني, qada'ul adhkar. If you miss the adhkar, you say them. Because if you, oh, wallah, I did not say them in the preferred time, khalas, wait till tomorrow. This is how you become lazy. That's how you're going to miss it tomorrow and the day after until it's all gone. And there's nothing left. Now, هذا very important. Among all the opinions, right? I told you there's many opinions. But why is this the most correct opinion? That adhkar al-sabah starts from al-fajr, adhan al-fajr, until sunrise, and asr until maghrib. Why is this the most correct opinion? Wallahu a'lam. But there's a beautiful wisdom for this. And that is, that this time, after the fajr, till sunrise, and after asr, until maghrib, do you know of something that is prohibited during these times? As-salat is prohibited. So when as-salat is prohibited, adhkar came in its place. يعني ما في disconnection from Allah Azza wa Jal whatsoever. وابن رجب رحمه الله, he says the best of the adhkar is the adhkar of the morning and in the afternoon. Wallahu alam, this is the more correct opinion because it beautifully fits into this wisdom. You have stopped praying, there is no salat after fajr until sunrise, yalla, work bil adhkar. There's no this break and no this disconnection from Allah. La mafi. Adhkar comes in place. And that's the main pillar of as-salat anyway. While salat, all of it is filled with adhkar. But this one is a different type of dhikr. Sit down and engage in dhikr. After asr and maghrib, no salat. Sit down. But now it's replaced with al-adhkar. It's a beautiful wisdom, and that's how it fits into it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. طيب. We stop here bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Insha'Allah ta'ala, in our next lesson, we're going to begin with the first of them. I will inform you of how we're going to structure this. لأن العلماء, even for this, they would discuss how is أذكار الصباح والمساء to be structured. For some, based on the number, what is recited once and what's recited three times and then what's four and seven, and they put them in that order. Others, يعني, put them in order of the Qur'an first, وبعدين الأحاديث. Others put them in order of التوحيد first. And so, يعني, there's many orders. But نحن إن شاء الله تعالى, we will begin with the best of them, which is Al-Qur'an. And from the Qur'an, the best of the best. And that is Ayatul Kursi. And we're going to do a sharh of Ayatul Kursi, بإذن الله تعالى, a tafsir of Ayatul Kursi. It will go on for a few lessons, inshallah ta'ala. And the main thing here, what we want to focus on, and be aware of this, is tying this dhikr to that time. What's the relevance of this dhikr and its wording for the morning and for the afternoon? This is incredible knowledge that the ulama, rahimahumullah, would also يعني focus on. For inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave that for our next lesson. And what I will do as well is this. Whoever has the Telegram app, if you have it, there's an app called Telegram. I have a channel in there. I will, before the lesson, I will post a few sheets, a PDF file. In this PDF file, I'll put the dhikr that we're going to explain and give some lines, and you can bring it with you if you want to write something, heck, whatever touches you, or whatever you think you can relate to and always be focused and brings your heart present when making the dhikr, make a note of it. A few notes along the way, inshallah, يعني they'll help you a lot in your life when you're reading these adhkar every morning and afternoon. So if you jump onto the channel, the PDF file will be there. You can download it, print it, and bring it. There won't be any printing and any handouts here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to forgive our sins, to continue His guidance upon us. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.